your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Space David Britton.
G'day.
G'day, mate. What's going on?
Nothing much. I put my feet up, but like you guys, I think.
Well, I actually do have my feet up. You're right. I'm just on a stool, though. I don't think it's quite in the reclined position that you're talking about.
Well, I'm actually sitting in a chair, so I might be less reclined than you. It's hard to tell at this distance.
But we're all kind of about the same distance away from space.
We are. That's a great insight.
Thank you. Write that down, John. Don't just sit there.
Oh, so sorry. I forgot to write down that great sort of thing that popped out of your mouth there.
It's Robitussin genius coming out.
Now, David, we're talking about the Andromeda Galaxy, first off. You've said that it's got us in sight. What does that mean? Are we going to get swallowed up by this galaxy?
Well, we're going to swallow each other. So this is a study that's come out from a team. These days, astronomers don't do a lot just on their own. It's usually teams, and this has people from Australia, the UK, Netherlands, Canada, France, Germany, and also one researcher from New Zealand, a guy called Brendan Brewer, who's at the statistics department at the University of Auckland. So anyway, they've been looking at the Andromeda Galaxy. Just so we sort of know what we're talking about there, because back in August I talked about streams of stars in our galaxy that had been pulled out by these globular clusters. So just to recap, our sun's a star, the solar system includes the planets, the sun is in a galaxy which is a huge group of stars. Our galaxy is called the Milky Way. It has about 200 billion stars in it, weighing the equivalent of about a trillion suns. It's about 100,000 light years across. That's how long it takes light to go from one side to the other. So it's pretty big. And around our galaxy, we've got these balls of stars called globular clusters, globes of stars from tens of thousands to about a million stars in each of them. We've got about 150 of these globular clusters. There's also dwarf galaxies, these oddly shaped small galaxies around us, and our galaxy has eaten a few of those up, absorbed them. And about 2 million light years away is the Andromeda Galaxy. It's about the same size as our galaxy, but a bit more complicated. It has other orbiting galaxies around it as well. It has got about 460 of these globular clusters, so much more complicated. And what they've been looking at is the history of that galaxy. They can tell by analyzing what stars are there and which direction they're moving and so on, what's happened in the past. And basically, they're able to tell, in fact, more easily than they can with our galaxy, how much of a cannibal it's been. It's absorbed these other galaxies. It's a bit harder for our galaxy because we're inside it.
Feels like something maybe the TAB you could maybe bet on, like what galaxy eats what galaxy.
Well, we don't need that. I mean, the statistics was a bit more sophisticated than TAB, so...
Is there anything you can bet on in the TAB to do with the space race, or space-related stuff? Like, will the rocket get up there, kind of thing?
I've no idea, right?
Okay. No, that's fair. That's actually the best answer. That's the best answer that you could give, actually, mate. That's totally fine. Carry on.
So, because we're inside our own galaxy, we can't see through the centre of it. There's too much stuff there, dust and stars and stuff, so... We can see up and above and below it and out towards the edge where we are, but we can't see through the middle of it. Whereas for the Andromeda Galaxy, we can see the whole galaxy from edge to edge much more easily. And so they've been able to piece this together. The big headline, which we did know about, that our two galaxies are approaching each other, they're going to collide in about 4 billion years. So it's not a matter of one consuming the other. They're going to merge and interact. But it's, say 4 billion years down the track. But the work that this study is done is to put a lot more detail into how the galaxy, the Andromeda Galaxy, got to that stage, and a bit more about what that tells us about our own galaxy.
Now, David, the next story we've got is the discovery of 20 new moons orbiting Saturn.
That's right. That's literally breaking news today. Sometimes in the past I've talked about something on here, and then the next day there's been some announcement that I've had to wait 2 weeks to talk about. This time it came just in time. So last year in August, a group found 12 extra moons at Jupiter, which knocked its total up to 79 moons. The same group is actually doing a survey of all the large planets, the gas, the giant planets, to see exactly how many moons they have. And they've just announced what they found at Saturn. So they found 20 extra moons, which brings its total to 82. So that's three more moons than Jupiter.
And how do we, just quickly, how do we sum up what a moon is?
A moon is a significant lump orbiting around, natural lump orbiting around the planet.
Okay. It has to be over
so
a certain size.
They're about five kilometres in size.
Okay. So it's kind of like, it's like something, one, you know, we have hills and something's in mountains. So there's likely that there's even smaller, like heaps of smaller chunks cruising around that aren't quite moons?
There would be, but in this case, these have been discovered from the Subaru telescope in Hawaii. If you sent a satellite up to Saturn, you're going to find a few more. And in fact, Cassini spacecraft did find a number, but that's not what it was looking for.
Right.
These guys with these surveys, even though they're looking all the way from Earth, what they're looking for is just these moons, and they've been able to find them down to that size of 5 kilometers across at the distance of Saturn, which is 10 times further away from the sun than we are. Okay, so you're talking about 1.5 billion kilometers away at its nearest point. So anyway, these ones I've found, there's 20 of them, 17 of them actually orbit backwards. Okay, so our moon, most moons, they orbit in the same direction that the planet is spinning.
That's
called prograde motion, okay? But Saturn has a whole bunch of moons that move in retrograde motion, backwards compared with the planet's rotation. So 17 are like that.
Do they know why they would go on an unconventional...
They're pretty sure that it's the result of an impact either between pre-existing moons at Saturn or from something else that came from outside, like a comet or an asteroid that was passing by, and that's hit one of the moons and broken up. So they're actually different groups. They're actually named after Scandinavian gods. So there's the Norse group, the Inuit group, and the Gallic group. These moons belong to these groups. If people are actually interested, there's a little bit of a thing going where you can actually name or suggest names for the moons. It's at the Carnegie Institute where these guys are based. So the website is carnegiescience.edu/namesaturnmoons.
David, do any other planets in our solar system have a moon the same size as Earth's moon? Or do we have the biggest one?
No, we don't have the biggest one. Saturn has Titan, which is much, much bigger than our moon, and it's got an atmosphere that's actually thicker than the Earth. And Jupiter has moons that are bigger than our moon. Our moon's about 10th on the list.
Okay. But pretty big in proportion to the Earth.
What is big, John? It's space, mate. So everything's massive, isn't it?
Well, I mean, our moon's pretty big. It takes about, if you weighed the Earth and weighed the moon, it would take about 80 moons to make the Earth by mass. The greatest ratio, or the closest ratio, would be Pluto. Its moon, Charon, is about half the mass of Pluto itself.
Sorry, the name of Pluto's moon again is Charon?
Yeah, Charon.
Perfect.
Charon or Charon or
no,
Charon.
Charon it is. Got it.
Yeah. So they're sometimes called a double planet because they actually face each other and orbit around each other. Our moon faces us, but we don't face the moon. Okay, as we spin.
We spin, yeah.
But Pluto and Charon, they do face each other the whole time.
That's cute. It's cute that Pluto's got someone.
Now, what's happening in the night sky at the moment, David?
Well, after sunset, we've got Mercury and Venus getting higher and higher, so look out for that. If you've got a good low westerly horizon, you'll be able to see Venus very bright, and as I said, over the coming weeks, it's going to get further from the sun, higher and higher, and Mercury's actually a bit above that. But in the morning, there's actually a meteor shower. It's called the Orionid meteor shower. That just means we can see it in the constellation of Orion, which before sunrise is almost due north. It's not a really active one, but it, if you've got a good dark sight, which is always going to be better for seeing meteors because they're faint, it'll get up to about 20 an hour, and the peak is on the 21st of October. So this meteor shower goes through to early November.
Does it look like a shooting star, a meteor shower, like one meteor at a time kind of thing?
Well, it's going to be random. You might have two or three in 1 minute and none for the next 3 hours.
But does it look like a shooting star? Or?
Well, they are, in the bird of comet, shooting stars, yes.
Well, okay, so I'm allowed to make a wish on every single comet that I see in the...
You can wish on what you like, yep.
Okay, thank you, David.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, there's another meteor shower coming in November, which we'll talk about another time, but this one, early morning, so somewhere from about 3 in the morning, looking north before sunrise, up until about an hour, half an hour before sunrise, and they'll all appear to come from Orion, in a it's called a radiant, so it looks like railway lines. You know, it's that perspective effect as we go through this dust cloud from an ancient comet.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. Now, the Stardome. We're deep in school holidays.
Yeah, we've got 3 more days.
Is anyone waving themselves out
there?
Program.
It's called By the Campfire, about what we can see in the night sky and interpreting what you can see, the stories in the stars. So there's activities, there's rocket launching, and there's a time in the planetarium with the planetarium show as well. And starting on Monday, there's an astrophotography competition exhibition. Every year, the Auckland Astronomical Society holds a photography competition. This time around, in the past, we've always had the exhibition after the competition's been decided. This time, the judging won't be done until November. Actually by Phil Platt, who is the bad astronomy guy. He debunks all sorts of myths and legends about and hoaxes and so on about astronomy. He's the judge. So if you come along to the exhibition from the 14th to the end of October, you can decide which ones you think should win, and then when the results are announced, see how you match up against Phil Platt.
Nice. Nice one. Anything else?
Yeah.
Anything else at the Stardome?
Well, I could say that is free if you come along and visit during the day. It's a gold coin to look around and visit, and that exhibition is part of it, so there's no extra cost to see that exhibition. If you come in the evening, you can do the same, but most people in the evening, they would pay to see a show, and popping down to the Matariki room to have a look at the exhibition would be part of your visit if you were to do that.
Nice one. Now, we've had a couple of texts in. Someone has sent in a suggestion for the name of a moon.
Yeah.
Moony McMoon.
Classic.
And someone has also said Charon, or Sharon, is the ferryman for the dead across the sky.
Duh.
That's right. Well, the naming of the moons at Pluto are all to do with the underworld.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. That's the way the International Astronomical Union does these things. They come up with a theme for naming different parts of the solar system. Yeah, so for Pluto, it's the underworld.
Nice one. All right. Hey, David, thank you very much. May you have a good rest of the school holidays out there at the Stardome.
Anyone? Thank you very much. And we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, mate.
Cool. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium. Spaced Out.